Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. More than 65 million Americans right now are serving as a family caregiver. They're taking care of a loved one with some type of chronic impairment, whether it be a child with special needs, a family member who's been hurt due to trauma or disease, an aging loved one, somebody with mental illness, somebody with an addiction, somebody who's an alcoholic, whatever the chronic impairment, there's always a caregiver, and that caregiver is a person in need. They are often lonely, weary, and quite frankly, burn out a lot. And if that describes you, then you're in the right place. And I am so glad that you're here because you're why I do the program. This is extremely personal to me, and I have done all that I can do to reach out to my fellow caregivers, to strengthen them, to use the things I've learned through a lifetime of this to offer a lifeline to my fellow caregivers. I'm 4 decades into this now, and I am very grateful for the opportunity to share some things that I have anchored myself in to equip you to stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. I just returned from a wonderful trip to South Carolina. I had a friend of mine from Nashville that came out and asked if she could come and take care of Gracie so that I could go and see my folks in South Carolina. They listen to this program regularly every week. Mom and Dad listen. Even when I was there, they got up to listen to my program, and I was sitting right there at the table. It was kind of weird. But they love listening to this station, and it's been very comforting to Mom. Mom has some vision issues because of her macular degeneration, so she can't watch things that she'd like to watch on television and so forth. So she listens to AFR, and she goes on and on and on about how much she loves this network because it offers her news commentary. And she said any time of the day, particularly when she's discouraged, at times she can always turn it on. She listens through her Alexa device. I'm not going to say the name of the device because it'll turn on devices all over the country if I say the name. So anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. But when you have vision problems, that's a great tool to have. And she said, you know, any time of night I can hear God's word being proclaimed on AFR and our affiliates that carry this program as well, the Truth Network and others. And so it's really, it's a big shout out to all the folks that help make that happen for this show and for every other show. That's 24/7 programming to help, and it means a lot to my folks. So I want to thank my producer and then I know a lot of the folks down there in Mississippi that at the network and who do with all this and put all this together, and it's quite an operation. So thank you. And it was good to see my dad. He has Parkinson's. Dad's 89 and he has lived an exemplary life. I'm watching how he has handled these things. And mom's funny. I get my goofy sense of humor from my mother. Not as much dad. Dad's a little more stoic. But, you know, Mom told me a while back, she said, we waited way too long to become handicapped. We're not very good at this. I thought, that's pretty funny, Mom. So we had really a special time, and I went out to my brother's house on the lake, and there's a beginning of summer kind of boat parade they do in this lake where they live. And everybody kept saying, you need to get out here. And my youngest son, our youngest son lives down in South Carolina. So I was with him and Mom and Dad, and they kept saying, you need to get out here and see the parade. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. I'm just, the boat parade is not really my thing, but that's okay. My sister-in-law was really pushing me. Said, come on, hurry up. Come on. You know, and so I get down to the dock and I'm watching it go by, and I see what I thought was their son in there with all of his kids. He's got 4 kids. It turns out it was my oldest son with all 4 of our grandchildren. And he surprised us. They were in North Georgia. They live in Alabama, but they were in North Georgia at a competition. My daughter-in-law does all these agility competitions with dogs. She trains them, and she's quite good at it. And they slipped over with the Grant Parker and our grandchildren slipped over. She had to stay with all the dogs. They could travel with 5 dogs. And 4 children, but they slipped over. So I got to spend the day with my grandchildren and my dad and both of my sons. So it was quite a Father's Day weekend. I was hugging my little granddaughter goodbye. And she's three, and she's just really, you know, she's just wonderful. And I said, her name is Eileen. I said, I love you, Eileen. And she hugged me real tight. She said, I love your white hair, Pop. So, that made me laugh. And with great hair comes great responsibility. You know, I mean, that's the way it is. I don't have much, but I got good hair. And so my granddaughter likes it. So it was just a great time. I forget, because I live in Montana now, and I've lived here for 5 years full time, even though we've been coming out here since the 80s. But I forget how humid it could get in the summers in the South, particularly where I grew up in South Carolina. I was born and raised there, and it was so hot. I mean, the catfish were fried before you caught them. I mean, it was blooming hot. It made me grateful for the dry air we have. Now, we get heat out here in August. We'll have a couple of weeks where it'll get in the 90s. But the rest of the time the winters, people don't like the winters, but you just dress for it. But I left South Carolina. I was at Greenville-Spartanburg Airport. It was like 94 degrees. I landed that night in Bozeman, drove to the house, and it's snowing on me as I get there. We had an inch of snow on the ground the next morning, and it got down in the 20s. So it's a bit stark. That takes some getting used to. Some people say, oh, I don't want to go, it's just too cold. But, you know, you get used to it. It was a little bit gnarly hiking to the car when I get to the airport, because I'm just wearing, you know, South Carolina clothes. And I wasn't expecting to have this. And so it was that was fun. But anyway, Gracie did very well. My friend, I owe a great debt to her. She came out to stay with her. And Gracie's making some progress. She's getting a lot of good care. I, as America's caregiver, am supervising, but she's doing okay. She's got a long ways to go. She's had a hard year. She's had a hard decade. She's had a hard life, but she is tougher than a $2 steak. And I'm very encouraged by this. And I, you know, hopefully as the summer now is here, because it is warming up, we'll be able to get her outside and let her hopefully start walking. We got a wound that on her left leg that has not healed up very well. And so she can't wear her prosthesis, and that complicates her life significantly. And so we're working on that, getting that healed up. It's almost there. Now hopefully she can start walking maybe next week. So anyway, thank you for indulging me on that. I'd welcome your prayers for her and me. We've been doing this for a long time, but it was so great to see my folks, and I wish you all could get to know them. I'd like to think that I can represent them a little bit. Mom's got a sassy bit of humor to her. Dad's always been rather stoic, but Mom, she's a firecracker. And but the kids would go and spend time with her in the summer times, particularly when Gracie was having surgery. A lot of times they would go down and they would stay with Mom and Dad. And Mom was never known for safety. You know, that's not her thing. And I told her this time, and I watch her as she takes care of Dad a little bit and how she gets around and the things that she says and does. And I looked at her, I said, your commitment to recklessness is really impressive because she just lives full tilt. And I've always admired that about her, and I've watched her enthusiasm for life. They will be married in September, 66 years. How about that? 66 years. So I was thrilled to be able to have that time with them, and then the bonus of being able to see both of my sons and all of my grandchildren. And it was a treat. So thank you for allowing me just to share that on a personal note. And we've got more to go. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com. And that is one of the things that gives me hope as a caregiver, is my family, to grab them and hold them tight. We'll be right back.
Peter Rosenberger, he's not a preacher, but he's got great hair.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Pastor Katsu serves in communist China. He's been beaten in jail 25 times over the course of his ministry. They beat him so severely last time he could not get up for about a week, but they let him go, told him to never speak of Jesus again. But about a week later, a knock came on his door. It was Hayo, the bitter atheist who had a question that burned in his heart all week. How were you at such peace when we were beating you? So Katsu would open his door, open his Mandarin Bible, lead this bitter atheist to faith in Christ. Together, they have witnessed more than 1,000 coming to Christ there in communist China, where it is nearly impossible to find a Bible. And so in this spring season, AFR and Bible League have teamed up to bless 16,000 Bibleist believers. You've done that for 7,000. We have 9,000 to go by June 30th. So at $5 a Bible, $60 sends 12. Will you call 800-YES-WORD? That's 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD or give at sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org.
The Word of God tells us many times in one form or another, fear not. Many people are very fearful about some of the many perils and dangerous happenings that are going on in the world. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 tell us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust." I'm Joseph Parker, and we here at the American Family Association would like to remind you, fear not, put your trust in the Lord. We'd like to both encourage and challenge you to aggressively put your faith to work. And one way to do that is to pray Psalm 91 daily for yourself and your family, and keep your trust in Him. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer for yourself, email us here at psalm91@afa.net. Again, that's psalm91@afa.net.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. PeterRosenberger.com. Hey, if you want to check out the new website, see what you think. And I'd love for you to weigh in on this. We've been working very hard to offer something to fellow caregivers to help them see beyond some of the challenge they have. And I'd love to hear what you have to say about this. Or you could also go to our Facebook group and join that. It's a private group that I manage on Facebook, and post whatever's on your heart there. But go ahead and join it and be a part of what we're doing. And you can follow me on all the social media accounts. I'm out there for everything. And I would love to have you chime in and share your thoughts. Everything I do is designed to strengthen the family caregiver. Everything I do. I love what I get to do because I understand the need so greatly. And I have found these principles that I talk about on this program to assist with that, to help with that, to strengthen us, to not solve the problem. That's not the goal. The goal is not to feel better either. I mean, I want to be very clear on this. The goal is not to feel better. The goal is to be better. Okay? We're never going to feel good about some of the things that we have to watch and participate and do and help with. And the grieving that goes on in our soul about this. We're not going to feel better about it until we get to heaven. But we can be better along the way. Be more calm. Be healthier as we do this. So that's the thrust of everything that I do. And I'm grateful that you allow me to do it, that you give me an hour of your time here on this program. And for those of you who have bought my books and listen to the podcast. We got 800 something episodes out there. Thank you for the time that you're spending with me on this as I share some things that I've learned along the way. One of those things I've learned, and I'm going to offer you some quotes here. And this is something I was thinking about actually on the plane when I was coming back, and I was thinking about the show, and I kind of start thinking about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to talk about as almost as soon as I finish the previous one. But I was thinking about this for us as caregivers. I reserve the right to my own counsel. Now, let me explain that. Let me give you some context to this. Because you've also heard me say many times, you know, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And I get that. But I need to hear my thoughts. And I need to hear my own counsel on this for me to reason these things out. It doesn't mean I don't seek counsel. It doesn't mean I despise other counsel, because that would be stupid. That would be foolish to do that. But what it does do is gives me the freedom to listen to my own thoughts on this. As caregivers, there is a season in caregiving, and maybe you're in it right now, where everybody's telling you what you need to do and what you're supposed to do. Two different doctors said the same message to me a lifetime apart from each other. One was Gracie's orthopedic surgeon back when we weren't even married yet. I went through my first surgery with her, and that was in May of 1986. And she had her ankle fused, and the doctor came out, and everybody's around, and he said, look, she did really well. The surgery went well. We did what we needed to do. And ultimately, of course, the surgeries did not solve the problem, and she ended up losing the leg anyway. But at the time, let me just deal with that moment. And he said, she's recovering. She'll be in recovery for a while. Go ahead and take a break. Well, I had no frame of reference of going through a surgery with anybody. I had no frame of reference from doing any of the things that I was about to do and launched into doing by being in a relationship with Gracie. And so I heard, take a break. And so I did. I went and saw a movie. And it got me into all kinds of problems with people that were there, particularly some... I have to say this delicately because, and some of you have heard me tell this story, but I feel like I'm twisting myself in a pretzel to not cast asparagus at somebody. I know it's aspersions, but I like saying cast asparagus. But I there was a family member who had a family member's spouse who brought her parents. They are not related to me. And they just wore out my in-laws, particularly my mother-in-law, saying that, you know, Peter's just not going to be able to handle this, blah, 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 blah. You've all heard me tell you, the first chapter of my book. And it was a very, very big moment in my life because it set things in motion for me that would dominate my thinking for a long time. And when a friend of ours pulled me aside and said, you need to know what was going on over there, and brought me up to speed. And I was aghast. I mean, I didn't know. And I was just 22. And they're over there just wearing me out and so forth. And, you know, Peter's not going to be able to handle taking care of Gracie. Well, I guess I showed them, didn't I? And she never lifted a finger to help us, by the way, over all these years. I think she's still alive, but let's just not go there. So that happened. And then let me fast forward decades later when I'm in Denver and her surgeon says to me, hey, this is going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day. It's a 9-hour surgery. There's no need for you to hover over here. Don't you sit in that waiting room. You go back to your hotel, you watch a movie, relax, take it easy, get something good to eat. I will call you. I've got her. We've got this. Look at the difference. But see, for years, I listened to that first voice that I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. I have to do this. I got to do this. And that's just, that was crippling to me. And I got to the point where I didn't think I mattered as long as I fulfilled the external things that people felt like I should do. And that's a bad place to be. And my own counsel, now I listen to my experience, my thoughts on this, I don't trust my own counsel without any good input, but I put to silence all these others around me. I don't listen to that. If they're not helping, if they're not a professional, and if they're not bringing a wisdom that I don't have, but they're just criticizing me, I really don't give them the time of day. And I hope you don't either. And I want to encourage you not to. Okay, they're not really worth listening to. I have several very close friends of mine, many pastor friends of mine, that I seek out their counsel. And I get as much information as I can. And George Patton said this, you collect the facts, you collect the fears, you do all these things, and then you pull the trigger and you make the decision and you go. Because you're looking with reason at these things. And it's very important we reason it out, but we can't reason it out if we got too many voices in there just carping on us and saying things that are destructive to us. This woman wasn't interested in building me up. If she had been, she would have sought me out privately and said, "Hey, look, I know this is disorienting or whatever," but she's not. And she didn't have any kind of track record of doing that anyway. There are people out there that just love to rag on you. And I would like for you to get to the point, if that's where you are, if you got people that are ragging on you, that are just wearing out your last good nerve. First off, I'd like for you to put some space between them. I want you to reason these things out. Go back to Scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and what? A sound mind. The question is, do we use our mind? Or are we just governed by our feelings and our fears and our phobias and our embarrassment or our shame or all this? Or do we use our minds? And if there's one thing I want you as my fellow caregiver to unleash in your life, is the power in your mind that God gave you to reason things out, to learn to discipline yourself and the actions that you do as a caregiver, to set good boundaries and to use logic and think it out. This is really critical in our journey as caregivers, so that we're not buffeted around by stuff. I reserve the right to my own counsel. I have lived this for so long, and my experience gives me good counsel. It doesn't mean I will never seek it out, because I seek out counsel all the time. I have very, very trusted, godly, scholarly people that I lean on. But I also give great respect to my experience. And that experience is a teacher. And I go back to this surgeon that told me to go take a break. You know, I was nervous that day. It was a big surgery. And Gracie and I had never had something like that, even in our years. And you know what? He was very excited. And he told me, he said, "I love doing this surgery. It helps people." And I realized something. It was my first time, but it wasn't his. And his counsel was good counsel. You go watch a movie. You go rest. You go get something to eat. I've got her. You know, how much more does God say that to us? Be still and know that I am God. Rest. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. When you look at your loved one, whoever it is you're taking care of, do you understand that your heavenly Father says throughout all of Scripture, "I've got him. I've got her." Your loved one has a Savior. You're not that Savior. And so when you understand these things, that becomes counsel to you. That becomes wisdom to you to understand that you can trust God with whatever is coming down the pike. It's Corrie ten Boom said it beautifully. You never go wrong trusting an unknown future to a known God. And so you don't have to be buffeted around by other people's comments, criticisms, and what they think. And they're always going to offer their opinion. But your experience trumps their opinion. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Can you hang on to that? Your counsel of experience is worthy of listening to. Quieting those other voices that are wearing you out, that are just beating on you like a rented mule. Quiet those voices and listen to your experience give you good counsel. And then always, 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 without fail, test that against Scripture. God gave you a sound mind. I want to encourage you to use it. This may be your first time dealing with all this, but it's not his. And he would have you embrace that passage. There's no spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And your experience is great counsel. Listen to it. Reserve the right to your own counsel with this. That's part of what I do. That's part of how I live. That's part of what hope for the caregiver means to me. This is Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
The FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Paul tells us how to guard against becoming comfortable in the world. In Colossians 3:2, he says, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." One of the keys to living a triumphant life is to live with a conscious, eternal perspective. What does that mean? In the words of Peter, that means living as aliens and strangers in this world. And in the words of the writer of Hebrews, it means living as strangers and exiles. Are you focused on this world? Are you attached to it? Or do you have a sense that you are only passing through, heading for an eternal home? Indeed, this life is transitory. Remember, this life is only a prelude to eternity. This is Tim Moore with Lamb & Lion Ministries wishing you Godspeed.
At Lamb & Lion Ministries, we believe that Jesus is the only hope for the world today, and we're dedicated to proclaiming to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, that Jesus is returning soon. To find out more, go to ChristInProphecy.org.
He will be strong to deliver me safe, and the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. That's Russ Taff. That's Gracie, my wife. And I've always loved that. And I want to just touch back on what we just talked about in the last block of your own counsel. Where does this come from? There's an old saying that wisdom comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. Well, guess what? You've got a lot of experience. You're seeing this. That's one of the things about living with a chronic situation is you get to repeat a lot of scenarios, and it becomes part of a routine, and you're okay. You learn to make peace with certain things. Build on that, knowing that he who began a good work is faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. See, that's that confidence. Now, go back and look at the end of Deuteronomy. You remember that moment when Moses is basically giving a history lesson of how they got there. They're getting ready to go in the promised land. He's not going to go with them, but he's giving them a history lesson, and he's explaining to them, okay, look, if you abide by his standards, this is what's going to happen. If you fail these, this is what's going to happen. But here, look at what he did. Look at all the things he did. And you know all those days that you didn't think you could get through as a caregiver? Guess what? You got through every one of them. And that's what this hymn is all about. Let me go to the caregiver keyboard here. You know this hymn. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. This is a great hymn. You know, I love this hymn, and but look at what he's saying. O God, our help in ages past. We're looking back, we realize, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. It's the same thing. That experience guides our reasoning as we face something new today. There is a point where that sound mind that God has given us, we have a responsibility to develop that. To say, you know what, we're not going to freak out this time. We're not going to overreact. We're not going to listen to people like this. We've seen in our experience that people like that are destructive. Like that lady that was that way with me. We're going to listen to reason, and we're going to use our disciplined mind to push away those things that are not helpful and reserve the right to our own counsel. I don't have to just follow what the group thinks. I don't have to do what the herd tells me to do. They're not there with me in the wee small hours, as Frank Sinatra would sing. It's one of my favorite Sinatra tunes, in the wee small hours. But they're not there. I mean, think about how many people are there with you in the midst of the craziness of your life as a caregiver. How many people show up that aren't paid? How many people are doing it? Okay. I give critics about as much respect as they give the trauma that Gracie and I carry. And if they don't give me that kind of respect, if they don't give Gracie that kind of respect, then I don't listen to them. And I'm asking you not to as well. Because there are people out there that will heap things on you that are just not good. It's not that they're not helpful. They're actually harmful. And it's really important to know the difference on that. And that's where good counsel comes into play from your own experience. And the hymn writer is singing this, "Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." That's conviction. That's stalwart singing. That's spine stiffening to recognize, you know what? He's got us through this all the way to here, and he's going to see us all the way home. That's actually called the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. And I keep hammering this point down, particularly what Martin Lloyd-Jones said when he said, "He saw to it that I was born, he saw to it that I believed, and he will see me home." Now, the question is, again, and I'm going to say this to you, I say this almost every week, do you believe this? And if so, what are the implications? How will your life change because of these things? And how do people around you know the difference? Because it's not just about us getting through caregiving and then we get on with our life. For some of us, this is our life. But I think it goes beyond that. It's not that, okay, we're going to be a caregiver for the rest of our life, or okay, we're going to do this. No. The purpose of it is to do what? Is there a stewardship responsibility here? Yeah, there is. Not just me, you. There are people in your life who deserve to hear and are, quite frankly, needing to hear you share your journey of what you're learning through this, your experience. If you'll notice, I rarely give my opinion on this program, and I certainly have one. Ask my wife. But how does my opinion help you? I mean, let's be honest. What good is my opinion? Not much. But how does my experience help you? There's a reason I have over 800 episodes on this program and have written 4 books, because I've got a lot of experience. And my experience is far more valuable than my opinion, because here's what I've learned. Here's what I've witnessed. Here's what I've touched. Here's what I've seen. Here's what I've tested. Here's what I've endured. And I offer this as a way to strengthen fellow caregivers, because I have a stewardship responsibility. None of you all need my opinion. But if you're a caregiver, my experience is going to become increasingly valuable to you in this journey. How many people have been blessed by that hymn, "Oh God, our help in ages past"? Because the hymn writer took the time to chronicle out a statement of faith that said he saw to it that we got through all of these other things, and he's going to see us home. Our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. By the way, you know who wrote that? It's Isaac Watts, one of the greatest hymn writers of all time. We've done a terrible disservice to the next generation by not helping them understand these hymns. And I'm trying to fix that problem one hymn at a time. I really want to address that issue, because the text is everything. And I told you all I'm taking piano lessons. I'm going to give you a report on that. But I was so encouraged, because this group I'm taking from, and I'm going to be introducing them more to you along the way. But the first thing they said is, you got to know the text. You got to know the text. You got to know what this song is saying. And that's the number one thing of learning to play, the way I'm going to be learning how to play with this and hopefully play better. They assured me that I will. What is the text saying? And then how can we communicate that musically that really drives it home for the listener, so that they can remember that, "Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." I challenge you all to print off those lyrics. Get your hymnal out if you have one, and memorize that first stanza. There's only 2 lines to it. But try singing that the next time you're dealing with something in the middle of the night. Try singing that to yourself the next time you're on the way to the emergency room. Try singing that the next time you have to watch some of the things that we as caregivers have to watch or do. It's a whole nother level of understanding. You know, we've got a culture that sadly cheers us on towards accomplishment and hedonistic pleasures. You know, it's trite to say it's almost become a cliche, you know, of what our culture worships. Scripture teaches something different. The destination is not the palace. The destination is the cross. Let God worry about the palace. Not a very fun message, and I get that, but look at what Jesus said. Luke 14:27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Paul, again in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Matthew 10:38. And whoever does not take his own cross and follow me is not worthy of me. We zip past some of those words because we want to get to glory. But the destination is the cross. That was Jesus' destination. And he instructed us to follow him. Part of that is when we take on the things that we take on, it's not that we're suffering for Christ as a caregiver. I don't mean that, and I trust that you don't take it that way, because that's not what this is about. We're not martyrs in that sense. But when we die to ourselves and trust God with the resurrection, then we are more closely aligning with what Jesus did. That we're not doing this to elevate ourselves. We're not doing this as some kind of step towards anything other than to crucify the flesh. The flesh says, I don't want to do this. The flesh says, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't like this. This is not enjoyable. I'd rather do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's what the flesh says to do. And in this crucible, there's that word, crucible, of caregiving, we find that our flesh is put to death quite a bit. Not enough. It takes a lifetime, and it's daily. But when we do that, we don't do it out of a sense of bitterness or resentment or even obligation. Jesus did it for the joy set before him. Greater love hath no man than this, that one lay down his life for another. And when we identify in Christ that way, it's a game changer. And we then are able to look at these hymns, oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. We realize it's just not about us. It's about him. Always has been, always will be. It's about him. I go back to what I've said repeatedly. Sin is a bigger problem than we think it is. And the cross is a bigger deal than we could ever imagine. And when we are willing to put aside all that foolishness and we focus on the things of God, even while we're cleaning, doing laundry, serving, denying oneself, all of those things, it's a game changer. I can't take away what you carry any more than you can take away what I carry. And I've railed against a lot of these principles that I'm talking about with you today for a lifetime. I've had opportunity to fail pretty hard in these areas. But what I've come to understand is that this is where real living is. This is where real maturity comes from. We're going to be caregivers, and we may be caregivers for the rest of our lives, some of us. Certainly the rest of our loved ones' lives. But we don't have to do it stupidly. We don't have to do it bitterly. We don't have to be at the mercy of people who will criticize us, often sanctimoniously and cruelly. We don't have to do any of these things. What we do is we keep our eyes fixed on Christ. That's how we do it. That is hope for the caregiver. We'll be right back. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, I know what I'm going to do. And I was kind of startled. I said, well, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus. And I said, well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first? But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? StandingWithHope.com/giving. StandingWithHope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. StandingWithHope.com/giving.
Your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger.
How many of you all remember your due date? The date when the doctor told your mother you were due. Do you celebrate that date? We don't celebrate the due date. We celebrate the birthday. But with God, there's no distinction between those two. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that was the due date and the birthday. Because that was when God decreed. Scripture says repeatedly, at that time, at that time, at that time. Caiaphas was in place. Pilate was in place. Greek word, I believe, is kairos, appointed time. And we serve a God who appoints time. And this just reinforces the confidence that we can have as believers that we don't need to live in fear. But when we have those moments when we're afraid, thinking, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with this? We could go back to what Scripture says. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Hope for the Caregiver with Peter Rosenberger. Saturday mornings at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on American Family Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less in Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Now that's a hymn arrangement.
The sweetest frame.
It's Denver and the Mile High Orchestra on Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And what a great arrangement of this hymn. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver, and I'm so glad that you are with us. I told you, I'm going to change this problem that we've had of overlooking the hymns. I'm going to do it one hymn at a time. And that is a spectacular arrangement. And I just love it. Who doesn't like big band music? I mean, the sheer talent, creativity, and enthusiasm, and just the chops it takes to pull off something like that. I just love it. So thank you for indulging me on that. And I'm very glad to have you here as part of this program today. You know, as long as I've done the program, I've introduced music that I have loved and still love, and that it really excites me, and it moves me and inspires me. And I like to dissect it and see, okay, why does this work? How does this work? And I'm enjoying my piano lessons, and I'm hoping I can introduce more of that to you, of things that I'm learning from some really talented musicians. Music's such a big part of my life. I've been a musician longer than I've been a caregiver, and that's saying something. Gracie and I both, our whole life is just framed by music and our love for it. And not just playing a song, but just really getting into the nitty-gritty of it. I've had the benefit of some great piano teachers, some great composition teachers. I've had the benefit of being around wonderful musicians. I mean, people that are just insanely good. And I'm looking at them just with incredulity, but you know, I have to hold my jaw back up because they're so good at what they do. And music is so able to transcend all these things, and it speaks with great clarity into things that words just fail us. Hans Christian Andersen said this, you know, when words fail, music speaks. And so I want to introduce more and more stuff like that to you all with your permission. I mean, if you don't want me to, you know, you can write me and tell me, Peter, stop doing music. Turn off the caregiver keyboard. Give it away. You know, if that's something you really want. I'm not going to do it, but you could certainly write me and tell me that, because that's how I get through the things that I get through. This is what strengthens and comforts me and inspires me and the beauty of it and the excitement of it. When you have, I love big band music. I love swing. If you get a chance, listen to some Count Basie. Listen to Nelson Riddle, the orchestrations he did for Sinatra. I mean, they're just marvelous. I love film score. I learned something the other day. One of my favorite singers, Gracie and I, love Jeffrey Osborne. Used to be with a group called LTD, and he sang Gracie's, one of her all-time favorite songs, and I love to play on the piano, On the Wings of Love. It's a great tune. And I was playing for her just last night. And she was, and then she wanted to criticize, no, you're doing this too much. Don't put it in that key. She's telling me how to play this. And I've been playing it for our entire marriage. And I didn't realize this. I was looking up stuff on Jeffrey Osborne, and I don't know if you know who he is, but wonderful singer. He and James Ingram just were just two voices that I just absolutely loved, particularly back in the 80s. But his dad was a player with Duke Ellington's orchestra, you know, and you go back and listen to this stuff and you see the musical heritage that's available to us. And I want to push myself, and that's why I'm taking more lessons, and I'm hoping I can cut another record. And I look forward to that. I could do that all out here in Montana, and then I send the files to my friend Chris Latham, who wrote the theme song with me of this program. And he does all my engineering and so forth. Chris is a Grammy Award winner, engineered back in Nashville, and then he engineers it. And if I have to go in there to do some stuff with it, and then we'll have orchestration put with it, all that kind of stuff, and I can do all that from here. The world has changed a lot, so I want to take advantage of those sort of things, and I want to cut another CD. And in order to do that, I've got to practice. I've got to get my chops up. And that's, it's incredibly soul enriching for me. You hear me talk about this a lot as a caregiver. I do these things, you know, because this is how I survive. This is how I thrive. This is how I accomplish. And Gracie benefits from me being a healthy person. And part of my healthiness is music and pushing myself creatively. I am, speaking of creative, I've done a couple things that you all might find meaningful. We're going to be offering this. One of them is, people seem to love the pictures that I post on social media of this place out here. Where we live is exceptionally beautiful. And I've had the chance to take some photos of exceptional scenery and beauty around me, the snow and the mountains and moose and all kinds of things. And I've made a calendar out of it. I call it the Caregiver Calendar for 2025. And I have a quote on each one, except for May's, which is Memorial Day. And I had a picture of a Memorial Day service at the little cemetery where we live in Southwest Montana. And the veterans came out for it. And it was so picturesque that it just stands on its own. Doesn't need anything from me. It's beautiful. And I've made this thing, and we're going to just give those away as thank you gifts for people who get involved with what we do at Standing with Hope. And, I don't think I'm going to put this in retail stores or anything. It's just something I wanted to do as a gift to help Standing with Hope grow and help us continue the work we do with our prosthetic limb outreach and with this program and other things that we're doing for family caregivers. So I'm trying to come up with creative things that I thought people would, you know, respond to and like. And so if that's something you want, it's for people who want to get involved monthly with us, to go out and you can, we'll send you one of these for 2025. I think you'll be really proud of it. I think you'll love it. It's very beautiful. And I've looked at these pictures and I see things that I thought are just so breathtaking. And I want to share them with others. People seem to like them. So that's going to be available out on our website. If you want to go ahead and go to standingwithhope.com/giving and do any kind of monthly gift, doesn't matter, whatever's on your heart, I'll send you one. They'll be ready here shortly. They're in production. I also have a caregiver tumbler that I've made. Again, these are just exclusive things I do for Standing with Hope. And it says healthy caregivers make better caregivers on it. I use one. I was out on the property the other day with the cows and I was drinking out of it. And I showed it on a Facebook live streaming thing. And people said, we want one of those tumblers. We want a tumbler. So we're going to have those available as well. So you can go out there and do whatever's on your heart, and we'll try to get that to you as well. So these are for monthly supporters of Standing with Hope. Standing with Hope is the presenting sponsor of everything that we do. And it was the vision that Gracie and I launched back well over 20 years ago that came from her wanting to put prosthetic legs on her fellow caregivers really inspired me to alter my entire life on this. I thought it was a pretty spectacular vision she had, putting legs on folks and tell them about Jesus. And we've been doing just that over in the West African country of Ghana for a long time. I just sent over a large shipment by boat on this one of prosthetic socks, large boxes of these things. Prosthetic socks are kind of wool and sometimes cotton socks that go over the amputated limb and fits in the socket. So because as the day goes on, the limb will shrink because you're using it and forcing fluid out of it. And so you need to put on a sock. And we give these away very freely and liberally to all of our patients to have plenty of these things Gracie uses, as to make sure that the prosthesis doesn't get too loose. Because if your limb shrinks because you're forcing fluid out of it, then it you're wobbling around in that socket, and that's not good. You can really injure yourself or get blisters and so forth. And so you have to take off the limb periodically as you sweat or get fluid changing, and then you put a sock on to make it fit a little bit better and snug. Now, in the morning times, you may not need one, but afternoon, sometimes you do. And that's just part of prosthetic life. And so we got that going, and then I've got a bunch of legs that have come into the prison facility run by CoreCivic that has inmates disassembling these things for us. And we take the feet, the pylon, the knees, all the things that can be recycled, and they disassemble the limb, and we take all those things and ship them over to Africa, and they use those to build a new prosthesis for someone there. And we purchase acrylic resin over there, and so that way they build the socket there. We're getting carbon fiber to them. Got to get some more of that. Our pump situation, I told you I'd get back to this. Moses found a person there locally who could repair the pump we had, and he's letting me know if it's going to work properly. And if it is, that we've done a good thing here. And so just things like that. We bought that pump. And in fact, my father-in-law made a little special container for it, box and so forth, when he was over there with us some years ago. And so there's a lot of history there we've done with that. And so if you want to be a part of that, go out to standingwithhope.com/giving. It's a tax-deductible gift. And if you want to join us as a monthly supporter, I'm going to send you a caregiver calendar. I'll send you a Tumblr. We'll do all kinds of fun things. I try to come up with creative things that I think will be meaningful to you. And it's a real joy to be able to do what we get to do to help fellow caregivers, to help amputees, and more importantly, to point people to Christ and to share the gospel. As we had that great hymn at the beginning, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The prosthetic limb that we provide is only a temporary measure. If you give somebody a leg, they're going to walk. You give an amputee a leg, he's going to walk. She's going to walk. You teach somebody and equip somebody on how to make legs, hundreds will walk. But you do all of that while pointing them to Christ, and that's when they're standing with hope. And that's the whole purpose of what we do. It's for the wounded and those who care for them. So I wanted to make you aware of that. You can go to standingwithhope.com/giving or go out to peterrosenberger.com and you'll see more stuff about how to get there and all the other things that we do. I enjoy my time with you each week. Thank you for trusting me with an hour of your time. We'll see you next time.